continue to pray for Chris and Denise Carnahan. Chris was admitted again yesterday to begin the 5-day regimen for cancer. Pray it targets the cancer with no effects on healthy cells and tissue. And then someone I know, Hope in Cordell, a couple of her children are sick. One of them, Lennox, had to go to OU. He's been in OU Children's for a week with breathing issues.
Yeah.
And while they've got him at Children's in OU in Oklahoma City, Lakeland was diagnosed with RSV, their daughter, and the mother, Melissa, has COVID. So sickness has just really attacked that family.
And we know that there are many, many other families that have been attacked. So many so that I don't know about other school systems, but this week Burns Flat's out between yesterday and Friday because so many kids. Cordell was out a week before. He said, well, it's flu season. Based on what scripture? My Bible talks about due season, but it don't talk about flu season. Now, I'm not denying that there's a lot of stuff going around. Here's where we need to apply the Word of God. If we need healing, God provides healing. His will, apparently from his word, is health. So we're going to believe for healing that health might be restored, and we're going to believe for health for those who don't right now need healing. Amen.
And then continue to believe for complete healing for Mr. Joe Pyatt.
Amen. Amen. And Jody Miller also battling. Scott Hines, I mean, I'm just throwing these names out there, and we could go on and on and on and on and on. Renee said, I could take some of that. I personally, honestly, I could use some of that, too. You know, we live as close as we can in the shadow of the Almighty. We still live in a sin-sick, fallen, toxic world, and we still have to keep our guard up, and when something attacks you, attack back, and that's what we're going to do in prayer.
We can be like a palm tree. When the storms hit those palm trees, they bend, but they don't uproot.
They don't break. We don't get in agreement with sickness. All right. And so, Father, we bring every person that was named, and we bring before you those who were not named. Lord God, I have a cousin named Mark that definitely needs your healing touch. I release your grace and forgiveness. We agree together with your word, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we were healed, and we appropriate that healing. It belongs to us as children of the Most High God. And Father, when I say the word children, it's especially tender in our hearts when a child is being afflicted, like these little ones, Lord God, that Monica mentioned. And Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus for them. And Lord, cancer, so prevalent in our society today, attacks the bodies of those that you love. Cancer being confused cells that multiply rapidly and do not duplicate or replicate the cell as they should. It sounds like literally a spirit of confusion. Well, Father, we bind that. We know that you are not the author of confusion, and you're not the author of sickness and disease. There is nowhere, Lord God, in our covenant that Jesus confirmed that you said that you would cause us to become sick so you could teach us something, or that we might be patient, Lord Jesus. But Jesus, you went around everywhere healing the people. The word says in Acts 10:38 that you were anointed of the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy. And so we thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord God. We set ourselves in agreement with Chris and Denise that, Lord God, that as he receives treatment, that treatment will target like a guided weapon that cancer. And we deny cancer the right to exist in the body of anyone ever, and especially those that are of the household of faith. And we claim it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10. Sunday worship is at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5. Sunday evening Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Under His Wings.
Yes.
That's the best place to be.
Sure enough, that is where you better get. And that's where you better live. Amen. You don't have to leave. Yeah. So I got to go to work. Well, you can go to work under his wings. Yeah. You say, well, I'm going on vacation. Well, you go certainly go on vacation under his wings. Because under his wings means something, and it's not a physical place. You know, I like to go to our church when no one else is there. Spend time worshiping the Lord. Pray. If I can't go there, I mean, I have an office at home, or even in my living room or wherever. I like to get in the presence of God wherever we are. I mean, Sharon and I go on vacation, you know, not as often as I'd like to, but when we go, we don't leave God behind. We're always going with the presence of God. And, man, when I'm on vacation, I wake up extra early, extra, extra, extra early. I do. I watch the sun come up every day when I'm on vacation. Because I can't wait when I'm on vacation. I'm more relaxed and laid back, and it's like I'm not dreading anything. And so I'm ready to get up and see what excitement the day has. And, man, I just love starting our day with spending time in the presence of the Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on. And so we're in Psalms 91, if you weren't able to join us for the first half. Psalms 91, and we're talking about abiding in the shadow, the shelter of the Most High God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide or remain in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God in whom I trust. That's what you need to say when something comes to try to test your trust in God. You need to respond by saying, and I literally believe that means literally saying. It's amazing what people say sometimes. I'm like, whatever you want, if that's what you want. And people go, well, I don't believe in that name it and claim it stuff or that blab it and grab it. Both of those have a very negative connotation. But if you read the Word of God, Jesus said this. So if you don't agree, then you disagree with him. He said, whatever you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, you're going to have it. And so he said, therefore, I tell you that when you pray, believe that you have what you prayed for and you will see it. You know, like, okay. That's Jesus. I'm not going to disagree with him, because if I disagree with him, I'm wrong. So what we say is very important. But like I mentioned earlier, saying should be accompanied by action. So I say, Lord, you're my refuge. So do you take refuge in him? I say you're my fortress. Do you allow him to surround you? I say you're my God. Do you treat him like he's God? I say I trust you. Do you act like you trust him? I heard somebody define faith as this. It's act like God's word is true. That's faith. It's like, wow, that's so simple, right? Well, that's what we got to do. So he says if we'll do that, verse 3, surely he'll save you from the fowler's snare. I'll translate it, the devil's traps. A fowler is a bird catcher, and they use snares, little, you know, string rope snares on a bent down branch, and then a little bird gets in the snare to get the whatever bait was, and by pulling the string they trip the thing and the branch goes up and the little bird is caught by the snare, trapped, tricked, baited into becoming a prisoner to be devoured. He said surely he will deliver you from that trap of the enemy. And then he mentions one of the enemy's traps right off the bat. He says deadly pestilence. You don't have, I'll look it up if you want to. It means deadly disease. He'll save you from the devil's tricks, traps. He'll save you from deadly disease. All right, Lord. Amen. I like that. Well, how do I activate that promise? I activate it by saying that God delivers me from the deadly disease, that God is my refuge, God is my fortress, God is the one I trust. I appreciate you, doctor, but I don't trust you. I trust God. I appreciate these remedies, these things, you know. I believe God gave them to us, but I'm not looking to this for my healing. God is my healer. Jesus is my healer. Amen. Verse 4 says this, he'll cover you with his feathers. This is how he delivers you from the deadly disease. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you find that refuge that you said you had. That's where you find it. His faithfulness will be your shield. His, in my Bible, the word his is extra underlined. His faithfulness, not yours. His. Who you trusting in? Your faithfulness or his? His. You not fear the terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence, again, disease, that stalks in darkness, plague, again, disease, that destroys at midday. Here's a verse I never, ever, ever, ever forget. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But what declaration do you need to be saying? What do you need to be saying? It will not come near me. Not come near me. It will not come near me. And here's what I claim. I use the King James Version. When storm season comes in Oklahoma and the weather gets ugly, I know God's going to take care of me. I know that I know it because he is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. And he shelters me under his wings. And, Lord, you said, this is how I use this, you said in your word, Lord God, that no calamity will come near my dwelling place. That's the King James Version of that verse. No calamity. Well, anybody with a half a brain knows that a tornado, a fire, an earthquake, that's a calamity. And what did God say? If I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, if I'm saying of the Lord, if I'm lining it up by coming into his refuge and living there, then no calamity coming near my dwelling place. How many times have we seen storms split, tornadoes lift up, things go around us because we're standing in faith and believing God? I mean, I appreciate old David Payne, you know. I call him David Papa Vain Payne because, man, when the weather gets upset, I love his passion. And his passion to try to protect people. But in his passion to try to protect people, he starts releasing words that I find myself having to disagree with. Like, he was releasing words a year ago, might have been the season before last, I don't remember. And he's like, if you're in Burns Flat, you need to take shelter immediately. Immediately. We've got 100-mile-an-hour winds. We've got golf ball-size hail to tennis ball-size hail. I'm standing in my backyard quoting this psalm, speaking to those clouds, commanding them to dissipate, and the wind in my backyard was about 12 miles an hour, and there wasn't any hail falling. And he said, if you're in Burns Flat right now, we've got 100-mile-an-hour winds at the airport, which is less than a mile from my house. We've got golf ball to tennis ball size hail. You know, you need to get underground. You need to get in shelter. We've got a confirmed tornado down by Dill City. Monica's out there going, Not here.
I was sleeping under his wings.
I was taking active role in making sure that God's word works. Because, listen, a lot of people go, well, if God wants something to happen, it'll just happen. I'm gonna be nice about it. That's ignorant. That's stupid and ignorant. How about that for being nice? Because if you think God's word works automatically, then how come everyone ain't saved? Well, maybe it ain't God's will for everybody to be saved. Maybe you ain't read the Bible. Because the Bible says it is God's will for everyone to be saved. The Bible says it is God's will for everyone to come to repentance and knowledge of the truth, which is his word. Mm-hmm. But does everyone get saved? Does everyone come to knowledge of the truth? No, they do not. Why? Because God allows us to have free will choice. God allows us to choose the circumstances that we allow in our lives. So I didn't invite this in. I don't want this in my life. Are you sure? Are you sure that, I mean, just by living in a sin-sick, toxic world, it's like we're dropped into a vat of poison. The only way we're going to remain unpoisoned is to keep ourselves isolated somehow while it goes on all around us. And that reminds me of that verse, didn't it? 1,000 might fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Somebody hears that and they say, well, what makes you think you're so special? Back up. It says, his faithfulness will be my shield. Not mine. Not about me. The only thing I'm doing is making sure I qualify by the way I live my life. Abiding, living, dwelling, staying, remaining, taking up residence in his presence. I got a few minutes left, about 10 or 12 or so. So I want to take you somewhere. Exodus, way up in the front. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. I'm going to try to get through this because if I don't get all the way through it, it won't make sense. Exodus 25. Let's see here. I'm going to pick it up. I'm just starting verse 1. I'll read quick. The Lord said to Moses, 25:1, Exodus 25:1. Tell the Israelites, bring me an offering. You receive offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you receive from them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for light, spices for anointing oil, fragrant incense, onyx stones, other gems, to be mounted on an ephod for the breastplate. What's this all about? What's this got to do with what we're talking about? This is all the preparations for the tabernacle, the temple that they carried with them, the Israelites in the wilderness. And then he said this, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I show you. Have them make a chest out of acacia wood or gopher wood. 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it. Fasten them to its 4 feet with 2 rings on the side and 2 rings on the other. Make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles in the rings to the side of the chest to carry it. And the poles are to remain in the rings of this, what is it? Ark. Now, the two times I know of in the Bible call something an ark. This one, where it's the Ark of the Covenant, where they put the Ten Commandments and the manna and Aaron's staff that budded, all reminders of the presence of God with them. They carried them in this ark when they got it made. It was a box, a wooden box, overlaid in gold, highly decorated, and it was to them, it was a holy, holy thing. So much so that later on in their history, there were two sons of a priest that got the idea that if we carry the ark out into the battle, then God's presence on the ark will smite all of our enemies. God didn't tell them to do it. The enemy smited them. The ark was taken away from the Israelites and carried off and set in the temple of some demon statue. And the next day, the demon statue fell over and his head broke off. If that tells you anything. But this ark had very, very special significance. not because of the ark itself, but because of God's presence attached to and associated with this ark. And watch what he says, verse 17. Make an atonement cover. And mine has a footnote. My Bible has a footnote. It is called, literally called, the mercy seat. Make a mercy seat or an atonement cover that covers the it's like a lid for the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 18, make two cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make one cherub on one end and the second cherub on the other end, and make the cherub of one piece with the cover on the two ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover or the mercy seat. So you when you see a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, it's a box and the poles are going down the sides, highly decorated, and on the top, what appears to us to look like two angels bowing, and their wings are over the ark to where they literally formed an arch. These angel wing, golden, solid gold, formed an arch of angels' wings over the top of this lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And what is the lid called? The mercy seat or the atonement cover. And he told them, God told them, you got to make this exactly like I show it to you. And later on in the book of Hebrews, we find out because it's an exact pattern of what is actually in heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, he died a physical death, and he physically shed his blood. But when he ascended out of the grave, remember when he rose from the dead and he appeared to the women and he said, "Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father." Remember that? He was going there for a mission, for a purpose. Now, he was going to come back and show himself over a period of 40 days to over 500 witnesses that he's alive. But before he ascended to the Father, he told those women, "Don't touch me." You know what he did? The Bible tells us what he did. He ascended to the actual mercy seat in the real heaven, not the pattern here on earth, and he poured his blood out on that mercy seat and obtained for us eternal redemption. Why is it important that he did that, and why there? I'll tell you why there in a minute. Let's look at Leviticus 16. You say, "Well, I don't usually read that book." Leviticus, yeah, I know. Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus. Next verse, next book, chapter 16, look at just verse 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. They didn't approach the right way. God's magnificent holy presence was too much for their overwhelming for their flesh. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he'll die." God said, "Tell Aaron," now Aaron, the priest, Moses' brother, he said, he's the one that's going to come in to the Holy of Holies, and he's going to pour out those sacrifices to make atonement for the sins of the people. But you tell him he don't come in here unauthorized. He don't come in here whenever he wants to. This is so holy. He can't just come whenever he wants to. Here's why. He's going to show us why. He said, verse 2 again, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron, don't come whenever he chooses the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover of the ark," which is where those angels' wings were, "or else he'll die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." Verse 3, this is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary, and it tells him, he gives him very specific instructions, and here's why. Because that atonement cover on earth in the tabernacle with the Israelites on the Ark of the Covenant, God's literal presence manifested. God would appear as Aaron went in to offer those sacrifices. God would appear in a cloud of glory so that Aaron didn't die. When Aaron went in there, one of the things he would carry was the smoke of the incense. The incense smoke was a veil between Aaron and the presence of God so that Aaron didn't die from the presence of God's holiness. You see, what's all this got to do with us abiding under the shadow? Without Jesus, being our atonement, we couldn't come into the Holy of Holies, or let me call it something else, the secret place of the Most High God. Where did the psalmist say that you need to live at? Secret place of the Most High God. Well, back here, God said, you don't come in without asking, and I'll tell you when. And he told them when, one time a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Other than that, no one ever entered that specific place. It remained closed off with a curtain and holy. When Jesus died on the cross, now they have a brick temple. Magnificent building over there with a veil that's 20 feet tall and 60 feet wide and 4 inches thick, woven out of goat hair. And when Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook, the earth became dark, and guess what happened? That temple veil was ripped. Where from? From top to bottom, not bottom to top, not man up, but God down. And that was to signify that the way to God's presence had been made open to you and I. So what does it mean to take refuge under the shadow of the Almighty or to abide under his wings? What it means, literally, is to be in the very presence of God himself. So when you think about that, well, how could a calamity hurt you when you're literally, literally in the presence of God himself? Here's a question for you, though. Does God live at your house? You see, yes. Then your house must be holy. Because he don't live where unholy things happen. He don't live where a box on the wall spews out sewer in the realm of the spirit. He lives where the box on the wall entertains the people with wholesome entertainment and puts forth the word of God. That's what the box on the wall is for. It's not for watching people that are godless, watching people do things God doesn't condone. It's for good or evil. If you want God's presence in your presence, here's what God said. Be holy, even as he who called you is holy. He said, well, I can't be perfect. You can be perfect in Christ, and in Christ we strive for holiness. Not because without me doing everything right, I'm lost, sinner, doomed for hell, devil's hell. No, Jesus is my salvation. Monica's heard me say this before. Your works are not going to save you, but they'll definitely keep you safe. You need to chew on that a little bit. Your works are never going to save you, but it is your works that keep you safe. Why do your works keep you safe? Because it's your actions that decide where you abide. And if you abide in the secret place of the Most High God, living in his presence, that means everywhere you go, you're consciously aware that he's with you. Everything that goes in your mouth goes in his mouth. I remember my mom seeking deliverance from cigarettes, and she said that the Lord spoke to her and said to her, I never heard anybody else say this, but she said the Lord spoke to her and said, do you really think you're going to march into heaven with that thing hanging out of your mouth? And it convicted her heart so much that she's like, but God, I tried to quit. And she's saved as saved can be, right? If she wasn't saved, God wouldn't be dealing with her, right? So it ain't about, he wasn't telling her you're not saved. He was just reminding her that's not going with you. And she felt so convicted that she responded by saying, but God, I've tried to quit and I can't. And she prayed, and she said, Lord, make it detestable to me. And he did, and she got free. And she hasn't touched it in 30 years. So if you said, why are you picking on me, Pastor? Why are you picking on me? I'm not picking on you. We all have things in our lives that need to change, all of us, this guy too. And God's constantly changing things in my life. There are things that I was doing 5 years ago that I can't do now. There are things that I was saying or watching or this, that, or the other that the Lord has narrowed it down. I mean, the more we walk with him, the more he's refining us. I said, well, give me scripture for that. I'm glad you asked. John 15, Jesus said this, I am the vine and you're the branches. What else did he say? My Father's the gardener. And every branch that's in me, what does the gardener do? He prunes it so that it'll be more fruitful. He doesn't prune it to punish it. He prunes it so that it'll be more fruitful. I'm going to ask you a question. Is a fruitful life a happy life? You better know it is. And an unfruitful life is an unhappy life. If I want to be fruitful, if I want my relationship with God to be fruitful and happy, joyful, fulfilling. Somebody said, well, Pastor, do you ever drink? No, I don't drink. I mean, alcohol. I don't drink any form of alcohol. I wouldn't touch it. So why? Because I personally feel like that if I touch that alcohol would be some replacement for God. I feel like that for me personally, that any form, even an ounce of alcohol would be 1 ounce too much for me. You say, well, the Bible doesn't forbid it completely. God told Timothy, or Timothy told Paul, you know, Paul told Timothy, you can drink a little wine for your stomach. I know he did. He had stomach problems from drinking bad water. Well, he didn't have a whole lot of choices. And it does have medicinal value. I understand that. But the Bible also says that there are bad things about it. And so I just like this, why don't you drink? I don't need it. I don't have, I mean, there's nothing it can do for me that God hasn't already done for me. I don't need it. When I was lost, sometimes I did need it. You know what I needed it to do? I needed it to help me forget the misery of my present situation. So I would use it as a numbing effect. And then when the numbing effect wore off, there was times where the puking effect took in. You see, oh, Pastor White, were you an alcoholic? I don't think so. Probably not by anybody's stretch of the imagination. But the fact remains that I allowed that substance to be a substitute for God in my life at times. And so I wasn't abiding and living under the shadow of Almighty God. I wasn't. And when I learned that I could, and I began to do it, and you experience it, you find out, man, that's the best place to be. I don't know why I ever got out. I don't know why I ever, you know, I don't want to ever leave your presence. Lord, we sing songs like that at church. I don't want to ever leave your presence. I have to leave this building in a few minutes, but I don't have to leave the presence of God. Right? So what we want to do is abide under the shadow of his wings, under his wings. Quickly, I'll give you this one last thing. Psalm 17:8 is a prayer of David, and he said this, keep me, God, as the apple of your eye, and shelter me under your wings. Keep me as the apple of your eye, and shelter me under your wings. And I'm going to give it to you in one. If I still got this open, I do. Here's the passion. Listen to this. Protect me from harm, and keep an eye on me as you would a child who's reflected in the twinkling of your eye. That's pretty cool. Keep me as the apple of your eye, God, today. So you might want to pray that. Father, keep us as the apple of your eye today. Let us be so close to you, Father, that we are reflected by your gaze upon our lives, that you, Lord Jesus, show up big in us. Guard us and shelter us under your wings. Forgive us, Lord God, of anything that's hindering. Cleanse us of anything, Lord God, that hinders your presence. And we ask it all in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, my sister Renee, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.